This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
And we're talking about the start of the administration of Governor Gina Raimondo with John Duffy, public relations professional, who has chaired the board of directors of the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce. May we call you outgoing director?
You may.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. What do you make of the themes of Rhode Island needing a new attitude to shun old ways of doing things and stepping up the job creation?
I truly believe we have a couple issues, and one of them is our psyche. So we do need a boost to our spirit. But there are a lot of good things going on in Rhode Island, and I hope we have the chance to celebrate some of those things instead of just talking about the negatives that get too much attention.
There are companies that are doing well in Rhode Island, and is this a case perhaps of others not knowing enough about their story and too much emphasis on the negative?
I think there is. The lack of a coordinated economic development strategy makes it hard to talk about some companies because they look like one-offs. And in many cases, there are. But there are some good clusters going on of real success. There's areas of real opportunities. And I hope we have some time to focus on those in the coming weeks and months.
Well, how about in the coming minutes? So what are those opportunities? Let's hear it.
Well, I think there is something to the advanced manufacturing having a rebirth here. That's just not good political speak. Whether it's small jewelry companies all the way to electric boat, there are big improvements being made there, and there's a lot of jobs out there. One of the biggest challenges facing that is workforce. We do have some real workforce development issues, and those need to be addressed in order for Rhode Island to achieve the most it can with this rebirth of American manufacturing.
So what kinds of public policy prescriptions can you say, would attack that problem?
Let's take electric boat as an example. They have 500 open jobs with basic math skills needed, and they're having trouble filling those. So just taking that, we need to figure out a way, working with, say, Community College of Rhode Island, and come up with a certificate program. It doesn't have to be a degree program where you're training people to get a certificate or whatever it is to be able to go fill a position at electric boat. The jobs are going to be there. They have a 30-year backlog of an order because of the way their contracts work. That's a program that needs to be put in place and should be put in place today.
Excuse me, might there be room for a company to provisionally hire someone and train them in-house?
There is, but why put the onus on the company? I believe the question is what
public policy.
A public-private partnership would be the schools doing their job and the companies doing their job of hiring these people. That's a good partnership.
Now, you were part of the transition team for Governor Raimondo, and you were in charge of the economic development portfolio. So you were involved in the recruiting and hiring of the new Commerce Secretary. What's his charge, and what does he bring to the table?
His first charge is to develop a strategic plan for economic development in Rhode Island, and we don't have one, and you need a strategic plan. Why he was such an interesting candidate for this job, it's the first Commerce Secretary. None has never existed in Rhode Island. The chance to actually mold government to how you want it is pretty unique. This is an opportunity to just redefine and recreate economic development in Rhode Island. So we're looking for somebody with vision. And Stephen Pryor's, there were two pieces of his background that are really impressive. First was he was the first head of the Lower Manhattan Redevelopment Corporation, which was established to deal with the 9/11 land. Everybody speaks about what a great job he did there. You're dealing with the politics of some of the most valuable land in the world, and you had to balance it with victim families and what they wanted versus commercial real estate people who wanted to do everything. But it's, I think, the right mix of commercial, retail, and memorial. He went from there. Cory Booker brought him to Newark, where he headed economic development in Newark. And I'm a proud Rhode Islander. If you can sell Newark, we're much better than that, okay? He did 30 major commercial developments in his 4 years in Newark. They hadn't seen building like that in years, anywhere from their first hotel that they've had built in 30 years to Panasonic putting their North American headquarters there. He built a strategy, and was highly successful. And that's our expectation of Stefan.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is John Duffy, recent chairman of the Board of Directors of the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce. One of the themes for economic development and hiring is middle-class jobs and a return to manufacturing, if one can. What kind of jobs are those? I mean, we're not talking retail big-box jobs. We're talking about professional jobs. Are they going to be available for native Rhode Islanders? Are you going to do outside hiring for these jobs or what?
The electric boat example is a good example again. The minimum wage jobs will not accomplish this goal of bringing the middle class back. Minimum wage is not middle class jobs. It is these higher paying, they can be hourly, but they are higher paying jobs that
skilled are trade, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, because that's where the middle class opportunities are going to be. These electric boat jobs I referenced earlier are high paying jobs. They have a certain skill set that's necessary. So we have to get people those skills. They are going to come from Rhode Island. They have to be filled by Rhode Islanders for this comeback of the middle class that the governor speaks of.
In your experience in the chamber, I mean, which pieces of the economy in Rhode Island do you think have been succeeding? You talked earlier about sectors, you know, and we talked about advanced manufacturing. Mm-hmm. What else? Where else do you see the opportunities?
The greatest growth Rhode Island has seen since 2008 has been in the entrepreneur and innovation sector. That group, along with creative arts, recreation is also part of how jobs are measured, showed the greatest growth through 2008. And for many reasons, our great university system is putting out kids that love Rhode Island and want to stay. They're starting their own ventures, and the chamber and others have built a bit of an infrastructure to help support these people. Beta Spring's been an important component of that. The Founders League has been an important component of that. And we're seeing really nice success there. Brown has a great entrepreneurial program, and kids are inventing things in the dorm room, and they're becoming companies. Andira is a great example of that. Max Winograd's company, New Label, another great example of that. Rhode Island is a good place for entrepreneurs and innovators. Angus Davis's Swipely, another great example of how you can start something here. There's support here, and you can see success.
Okay, time forces us to leave it there, and we'd like to thank Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce, the recent head of the board of directors there, John Duffy, for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And I'm Dave Fallon. Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.